preaching Christ from all of Scripture. This is Abounding Grace. You join us now with Pastor Chris Gordon for a time of rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, again, thank you for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We have been studying this fascinating figure this week, John the Baptist, and his perspective of ministry, his perspective of how he must decrease and the Lord Jesus Christ must increase. And I have said this is probably one of the most important characters to study as we understand the purpose and design of pastoral ministry, but understand what is to be the character of the man who ministers the word of God. What we can learn in the Church of Jesus Christ today, as we have before us the cult of personality. We are driven today. We come to churches today because we love to come and to hear the man dazzle us, entertain us, speak to us in such a way so that it's relevant for us. And we have forgotten what this is all about. We've forgotten whom this is all about. And the one who tragically sits in the sidelines and who we have forgotten to proclaim and forgotten to push people to is the Lord Jesus Christ. His work, his greatness, his glory, sadly, decreases as today we have increased a mere man. John the Baptist is dealing with this problem. Many of his own disciples, many people are leaving him and going away from him to hear Jesus Christ, to hear his voice. And his own disciples were bothered by this. They come to him and they say, look, they're leaving. They're going out to him. And John says and gives us a perspective about ministry that we studied yesterday. A man can receive nothing unless it's given to him from heaven. John is answering that complaint by his own disciples who are bothered. The people are leaving John. And John is saying, look, anything we have has ever come from the sovereignty of God. I was never baptizing. I was never preaching in my own power. None of those who ever sat under my ministry came by my wisdom and my craftiness and my great abilities, my speaking abilities, my abilities to woo people. They came because they were given from heaven and they heard the word of God. They heard the message from God as I was just the voice to deliver it. What a perspective about ministry and about all of life. We need to remember this. That the results are the Lord's. We can never forget in this ministry the Holy Spirit. And John's ministry, John's message, John's drive was to make known Jesus Christ, to say, behold the Lamb of God, that people would come to him. That gauges the truthfulness of the one who speaks to you and provides us the test of validity of what you're hearing. What is his role? What is his message? John says, I'm just the voice. So that's the great error that really is exposed here today in the modern church. Too many pastors love to put themselves in the position of Jesus Christ to receive the glory. There are a lot of men in Christian pulpits who love the praise of men more than the praise of God. John said, I'm not worthy to loose the straps on his sandal. I'm no better than a slave. So that's one way of validating what you're hearing. And remember, we left off yesterday as we studied this. Who does your minister lead you to? Himself or Jesus Christ? Look at verse 29. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease. Oh, that we would listen to John. The one to whom the people come is the bridegroom. He has them. They are his, and they're hearing his voice. And what do you think my ministry is? It is to see them come to the bridegroom. That's why we labor. That's why we exist. We are his friends, and we stand excited that his sheep hear his voice and not ours. I'm just the voice of him. Our whole purpose in the ministry is to make him known, so much so that people do not even see us, but him. That we would descend out of the picture and that he would become the object of their following. That's what we're set apart to do, to drive people to Jesus, to present Jesus Christ, that they would come to him. And when that happens, our joy is complete. Our joy is fulfilled. We have completed the task. We've run the race well. You know, as I study this, I'm amazed that this jealousy and this selfishness can come from his own disciples, who had heard John's whole ministry testify of Jesus Christ, and yet with their own hearts wanted their labors to be about them. What does that tell you? Well, what it tells us is that we can become incredibly selfish with the Lord's ministry. The dangers here are immense. We can become obsessed with growth, that we take our eyes off the Savior and do whatever it takes to keep them. I've exposed that. That's what we're so used to seeing today. That's why we have a theater-driven church today. We've forgotten Jesus Christ. So obsessed with numbers, so obsessed to make ourselves relevant. Okay, so you say, we've heard you say that, so do you think you've arrived? Do I think Chris Gordon and the Reformed churches do it all perfectly? Let me answer that. You see, how do you think it would have sounded if John's apostles had said in their day, heyday, too many people are coming. We like the good old days when it's small and easy and the ministry wasn't so large. Oh yes, there's another danger when we try to make the church ours and we make it a club. And we can be filled with jealousy and anger that the church is actually growing. There's a ditch on both sides of the roads here, on the road. You see, we need to remember that what happens in the ministry of Jesus Christ happens from above, because the new birth is given as hearts are being changed. We never should create communities that are just comfortable for us. Remember the good old days, just a few people here, a few families, good sense of community, and we can complain because we want the church to fit our design with the kind of people we want. You see, everyone has their wants. Everyone has their design. What they want to see is the church of their design, who it should be filled with, how they want it run, who they want to lead them, all determined upon what most benefits their own complacency and lack of being involved in the kingdom themselves. Oh yes, that's the opposite side of the ditch. If on the one hand, you have people who will say, let's get them in at all costs. On the other hand, you want people who want to make a church that's comfortable for them. So that is just as great an evil as those manipulating to get people in. In both of these extremes, do we ever stop and ask, Lord, what do you want? Rather than, I want this. I want this. I want people like this. You see, we forget. We forget. Souls are perishing. And instead of rejoicing and giving of our service and time to best think about, now here's the whole point of what I'm saying, to best think about how the voice of Jesus Christ could be better heard, we turn inward and we focus on the things that step on our pride. See, that's exactly what John's disciples had happen. People were leaving John and they were jealous. That is a great hypocrisy, because we have not the mindset in us of let Christ increase and let us decrease. How is Christ's name increased? When it's increased in the hearts and lives of people who hear, and we should want to see that. We should want to see the kingdom grow. Sure, grow faithfully according to how the Lord tells us to announce the word. Do you rejoice that Jesus Christ is building? and that sinners are coming to him? Look at John's disciples here in John 3. Look at what they were prone to. Hearing years of preaching, they had totally forgotten why they were serving and what their mission and mandate was. John says, "My whole lot in life is to decrease and desire that the world would go after Jesus Christ so that he would be increased, that he would increase in the hearts and lives of those who believe." You know, you contrast that. That mentality is what enraged the Pharisees. In John chapter 12, remember what happened? The Pharisees said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." They were angry because the world had come after Jesus Christ. Shouldn't we rejoice if the world is going after him? That's what I want. I sincerely want that. I want to see everyone believe in the name of the Son and have life. You see, John says something I believe is really important to consider. Listen to what he says in verse 31. "He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all." Do you hear the warning there? Disciples had come to John. They're mad because people are leaving John and going to Jesus. John says, "You guys are coming to me jealous that people who were once coming to me are now going to Christ. But don't you know who this is? It's the Son of God. And you're following me, a mere man? We're earthly preachers. We're weak. We have sinful natures, and they're still very alive and well. And we fight against the same sins as everyone else. We have fears. We have the same doubts. We are far from purity and perfection. We are sinners." Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." "We are earthly," says John. "Our hearts, yes, still condemn us." You know, for me, it would be scary to think that I could be followed. And yet I suggest this is the greatest problem today. John is saying, the one from heaven we preach is pure. His message is perfect. We are speaking what he wants us to say, and you accept everything you're hearing based on his voice. Remember that. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I give them eternal life." You see, that's what John is essentially saying. It's never been my message. And my message has always been about him. It's his words. So how do you know if you're following him and not a man? How do you know that it's the voice you're hearing? John says, it's all in the testimony. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has come to deliver sinners from their sins. John says, whoever believes that will be saved from the wrath to come. You see, my friends, ministers should be announcing him, not wooing people with their ideas, but preaching the word so that sinners would see the Savior. Remember the cry of those Gentiles that had come to Andrew? "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Are you seeing Jesus every week as he is announced to you in all of his righteousness? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If that's the case, may we labor to make him known in all of his beauty. Abounding Grace Radio was brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. As always, we give you an invite to join us for worship. Worship service times on Sundays are 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. The website is lindenurc.com. Many resources there for you, a blog and sermons and even these radio broadcasts to download. Give us a call, 360-318-0429. We'd love to hear from you. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.